In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What do you do when you know you have done something wrong, but you don't know the path forward? You feel helpless and lost. You can undo what you've done, but you cannot live with it either. What do you do? The answer is you repent. That's what you do. Repent. Repentance is what all of us are called to do, especially during the season of Lent, which begins today. That's what King David did after he committed adultery and murder. You may have read about that in 2 Samuel chapter 12. You see, King David sent his army to battle against the Amorites. One day, while walking around on his rooftop, he saw Bathsheba, the wife of his friend Uriah, bathing. King David sent for her, committed adultery, and Bathsheba became pregnant. Afraid that his adultery would be exposed, David called her husband Uriah to come home from the battlefield and try to cover his sin. But Uriah stayed away from Bathsheba. So David sent Uriah back to the battlefield and instructed the commander to put Uriah on the front line. About a year later, God sent the prophet Nathan to confront David about his sin. David's response is Psalm 51, which is known as David's Prayer of Repentance. We read it on Ash Wednesday, and we'll do that again tonight. You see, during the season of penitence, we Episcopalians are called upon to engage in repentance. What is repentance, and what does it do for the believer? That's what I want to talk about tonight. Repentance is reviewing your actions and then feeling contrition or regret for your past wrongs. It is usually accompanied by a change for the better in a person. One theologian has defined repentance as a saving grace whereby a sinner turns from sin unto God. But repentance is not only turning from your sin, it is turning to God. Repentance is not just feeling sorry, it's being convicted, humbled, and changed. It is what the Apostle Paul calls being a new creature in 2 Corinthians. Therefore, he says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come into being. Repentance is one of the major foundations of Christianity. It is mentioned more than 60 times in the New Testament. And the truth is, my friends, you cannot understand Christianity without repentance. For those who trust Christ for salvation, that isn't new. For those who do not yet trust Jesus for salvation, let me ask you, how do you handle your guilt? How are you going to change? Well, you can start tonight with repentance. Listen, my friends, to David's confession. In the first five verses of Psalm 51, David takes responsibility for his sins. He doesn't shift the blame. He doesn't say, the devil made me do it, as comedian Fred Wilson used to say. Neither did he blame Bathsheba for bathing on her rooftop, as some people would say. David simply owns up to it. It is my iniquity, he says. It is my sin, my transgression, he confesses. And then in verses 6 to 9, David cries out to the Lord for mercy and asks for forgiveness. He says, purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have crushed rejoice. Turn your face away from my sin and my blot out all my guilt. My friends, my Bible tells me that our God is merciful and full of compassion. David found that out in his repentance because the prophet Nathan told him that God had put away his sins. Repentance leads to forgiveness. That's mercy. It also offers God's abundant and amazing grace. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. And grace is when you get what you don't deserve. Forgiving, David asks to be changed for a better person. In verses 11 to 12, he prays, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He's changed. He said, change me, renew me, transform me, make me willing again, O Lord. David is asking our God. My friends, repentance requires you to come clean, to take responsibility for your sins, to ask and receive God's forgiveness, and pray for his presence and power to once more flow through your life. You must also resolve to use your past mistakes for future ministry and to the glory of God. You see, that's why in verses 13 to 15, David says, give me the joy of your saving help again and sustain me with your bountiful spirit. Then he says, I will teach your ways to the wicked, and sinners will return to you. This was David saying, God, I want to be useful for your purpose. As you forgave me of my sins, let me also forgive my brothers and sisters who have hurt or done me wrong. You must not be like the two sisters in my former church in Camden, who wronged each other and went for years without speaking to one another, even though they live in the same neighborhood. Neither sister wanted to forgive. They knew nothing about repentance until at their mother's funeral. And then with tears streaming down their cheeks, the sisters could no longer avoid each other at their mother's graveside. So they embrace and ask each other for forgiveness. You see, like David and the sisters, we too must not hesitate to ask for forgiveness. And when we do that, we make ourselves available to receive God's grace and his mercy. Someone wrote, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.